Hello everyone and welcome to the CMO Stories podcast, season 2, episode 44. My name is Yuri Bilast and I'm your podcast host. And today's episode is part of a special series in partnership with the Sky Club community. I'm a member myself and it's a community of marketers who are passionate about building brands in Web3. Today I'm joined by fellow Sky Club member, Louis. Hi, Louis. How are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm good, man. How's it going? Hello, Yuri. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to. Yeah, you know, I know you're in the Netherlands. That's not so far away from me because I'm in Belgium. But guys, if you don't know Louis, let me give you a short introduction. So Louis Ivan is the CEO and co-founder of Rider, and that's a hardware wallet that simplifies your Web3 journey. Before creating Rider to simplify one's journey in Web3, Louis was the growth lead of Stax Foundation, STX, leading community and token growth. Currently, STX is a top Web3 project on Bitcoin. Wow, that's an interesting background that you have, Louis. So then I'm always curious, what motivated you to venture into the Web3 space? And also, how did you come up with the idea for Rider?
Yeah, I think it's the same with everybody, right? I always tell people when you go into Web3, it's a journey. So for me, my journey started in 2016. Like, I think everybody is at first is a speculator, right? So you look at the space from the outside. Okay, you look at it for the monetary gains. Of course, I was there for the monetary gains because you can hear all these crazy stories. Oh, we gained some money XYZ, right? So for you, okay, maybe it's time for me to look what's in it. And in 2016, and then of course you had the 2017 ICO bull run. It was a time where everybody was creating a token, decentralized this, decentralized that. And of course the bear market in 2017 as well, after 2013. And then 2018, it was the most pivotal moment for me because then I did a research on the history of digital cultures, just like platforms in general. What's the difference between Web 2 and Web 3? And then the more you dig into the research, I specifically uncovered, okay, a user-owned internet, right? So what's a user-owned internet? So it's actually an environment where Yuri and Louis could transact, build things, and create value and capture it. But the main question that I have back then is why we as users can't really capture the value that we create on the internet now. Mm-hmm. And that's what it just clicked. Right, it made sense. I was like, okay, cool, Web3 and cryptocurrency actually makes sense. So how do I get involved in it? And what's fascinating about the space in general, you as a speculator could actually become a community member and contribute to the entire open source protocol, right? You don't have to be a developer to be able to contribute. You can do a little bit of things such as like community development, support, whatever. And I fell in love with a project called Blockstack, because I was looking at, okay, if I'm going to put my time and effort into a specific project, it should be worth it because there's a lot of shady people in the space, shady protocols, right? So you have to really do your due diligence. And the track record of Blockstack was just stellar because it's a research project from Princeton by the founder Munib Ali. And if you look at the paper and how they wrote it. In 2017, when everybody was talking about scalability, they already understood that the blockchain shouldn't actually be used for a lot of things, right? You only use it for certain things. And for me, it was that. And then I volunteered for the project and until they picked me up 4 months later. So that's kind of my history when it comes to Web3.
Wow, interesting. But tell us a bit more about Rider, where did that concept, the idea came from?
Yeah, perfect. Because and now it goes back to like my entire story again. So after being 4 years in the protocol layer, okay, I devoted my time in the space creating a protocol layer where you can actually build applications on top of Bitcoin, right? So for us, of course, you also see different kinds of problem on the protocol layer. But if you look at the space as a whole, there's a big problem that builders aren't tackling, and that's user onboarding. And one of the biggest problems of the space up until now is self-custody, right? Self-custody in itself is quite difficult. And the question is, how do we fix it? If I'm going to be honest, I own 8 hardware wallets, right? Why do I own 8 hardware wallets? Why do I store my seed phrases in 3 geographic continents? I have my seed phrase somewhere where my mom lives, somewhere in Asia, and one in the Netherlands. And I think the space as a whole, the pitch was always, if you want to go Web3, it promotes decentralization, self-sovereignty, among other things. But these two important, what I call these features of the space, is just so hard to achieve. And then if you look at its very core, it always goes back to the user onboarding, right? You as a user needs a big jump in order to, you know, get those things. And that's what we're trying to solve with Rider. Okay, how do we make this the effortless experience for your average Joe and Jenny so they can actually capture the potential of Web3?
Actually, yeah, I see this as a big hurdle everywhere. Okay, you talk about all those wallets, but a lot of people don't even have a wallet yet. And that's also a hurdle, an obstacle to join Web3 and to come into space and so on. So yeah, a lot of work to do, you know, on that point. I would say those are challenges, of course, that you need to solve. What are some of the challenges that you are seeing or strategies that you have been applying for your business, you know, for your marketing in Web3? That's also always a question I like to ask.
Yeah. So I'm going to just go on what we've learned as a founder for like the past few months, right?
Yeah.
So I think for us as a company and as a founder, I'm going to summarize it in 3 things. So focus, prioritization, and transparency. So I'm going to go first on focus. A lot of builders in the space, okay, I'm not generalizing it as a whole. Again, my opinions are debatable. Maybe it doesn't apply to you, but I'm just going to go over it. So focus. I think a lot of builders in the space tries to build features after features. So, and you also build with the market, right? So for us, that's one thing that we're not doing this year is building with the market. So for example, you see a lot of applications now. Okay, they're going to, because Ordinals is such a big thing. And then you see a lot of people flocking to Ordinals, right? And they try to pivot their current company to include maybe an Ordinal marketplace instead of like their core focus or what's on their current roadmap. And it goes then again to what I said on the second thing, prioritization. A lot of us in the space easily get distracted by shiny things. So one thing that I could give as advice is if you have a certain roadmap and certain strategy, just like go for it and don't get distracted by what's currently happening with the market. And all of us are, I think most of us are guilty on it, especially in Web3, because a lot of builders just hop on it. That's why you see a lot of products that doesn't have a product market fit. If I'm going to name specific applications or protocol that has a product market fit, you can actually see that there are Web2 companies pushing Web3. One good example is Brave Browser. Next one is MetaMask. I would also treat it as a Web2 company because their revenue model is transaction fees, right? Did you see any application layer or protocol layer that has, let's say, 10 million user? And then the last thing is transparency. I think it's good, especially if you're building a team. That's one thing I've learned as well. You need to just lay down the hardcore truth, right? We have a saying, hide the skeletons in the closet. I think that's one thing that you shouldn't do, hide the skeletons. And even if the traction isn't there, just be honest about it, right? So be honest that, okay, we earn revenue this much. We have this amount of user. Now, how can we actually accelerate this? And you're going to be surprised even when it comes to hiring people. Now, when we hire people, we just set the expectations now. We said, okay, this is the company health check. This is what we have in the bank. We have X amount of runway. Are you in or are you out? It's going to be a lot of heavy tasks, Mino. We're not going to sleep, but it's going to be an amazing journey. Do you want to be part of it? Yes or no? If not, then it's not a fit. I think those 3 things is just what I've learned from the past few months, and I would love to pass it over to someone if you're starting your own company in Web3.
Wow. Yeah, no, those, you know, those things, also about the shiny object syndrome. I know that too, you know, because in marketing and even more in Web3, so many things are happening, so many new stuff is coming, and it's really easy to get distracted. And so you are building one bridge and you start to build another bridge and another bridge. So the thing is, I would say, finish one bridge. And once you have finished that one bridge, go to the next one. So I can really relate to what you're saying about that. I know your company is still young, but is there some kind of a success story or some use case that you can share with us?
Yeah, definitely. So we've ironed out the product specification for the hardware wallet rider. So there's currently four USPs, right? So we're going to go over, because we did a lot of research when it comes to the user journey. So I'm going to give you as an example. I think this is great for our listeners and the podcast. So we have Yuri, right? And then Yuri is going to start his crypto journey. And the first blocker is for him to create a wallet. Now with Rider, you can actually create a wallet within 60 seconds, no paper backup, because you abstract that the seed phrases, right? Because nobody needs to see it. So that's one step. Okay, now Yuri is onboarded into Web3. What will Yuri do next? The next thing that Yuri will do is to actually make a transaction. But if you look at the normal user journey of a person, they don't want to even make a transaction, because for them, they go to a certain wallet, it's already a lot of things, right? So you have the feeling again of intimidation. It's too technical, complex. It's very jarring for a normal user. So the next thing that we did is to abstract pre and post conditions when it comes to wallets. So you don't really see any transaction hassles and all these things. So all you need to do is tap, within a single tap, you're able to send a transaction. And you can actually enjoy Web3 actions like never before. We call it, you can now make transaction fearlessly. Okay, so now Yuri can now do all these things in Web3, right? So he can just like tap, enter a space, tap, send a transaction. And he can even do a face-to-face interaction with me later, which we can unlock it. We can talk more about it. And the last thing that when it comes to user onboarding is they lose their assets, right? Because you also have the seed phrase and people don't really know what to do with it, because users, they're not really familiar with that kind of environment. So now you need to think, okay, what are the environments that they're familiar with so they don't lose their asset? So you need to look at successful companies in Web2. Now you have Facebook, right? Or like Google, and they have this thing called social recovery. So you could apply the same concept to wallets, for example. So the wallet is actually secured by your social circle. So Yuri can delegate his wallet shares to multiple parties. This could be Yuri's friends and family, and they can come together and recover your asset in the case of loss. Now Yuri, as a user, can actually enjoy Web3 in its full potential. And the last thing that we're promoting with Rider, because we're using NFC, and then, so in by design, it's very simple. So you only have like NFC, secure enclave, and like other things. But when you have NFC, you can actually bring real life interaction to crypto. Now, what do I mean by NFC? NFC is near field communication. It's the same technology that Apple Pay uses, right? And the moment you bring that technology with digital assets, you're unlocking a lot of things. So you're enabling Yuri to use his digital assets in real life. And digital asset, this could be your NFTs, ordinals, or your cryptocurrency. So imagine a scenario in the next 1 or 2 years, Yuri will use his NFT to enter a space, go to a meetup, you know, enjoy whatever community he's part of. He can also vote on a DAO. And that's Rider in a nutshell.
I think you're solving a lot of pain points already, because there is some stress with people and they have their wallet, not to lose their seed phrase or being locked out, to fear all these stories about people. So you also mentioned the face-to-face transaction. What did you mean with that?
Yeah, because if Yuri has a rider, Luis has a rider, we're in the same space, we can actually make a transaction by just bringing our riders together. And we like the kind of social element, you know, because I think that's one thing that we're missing as well, is the network effects, right? That's why when you have these hardware wallets, it's also secured by your social circle. Imagine if Yuri can bring two or more people to the space by just saying, oh, you can actually be one of my guardians to protect my asset, right? So it could be your wife, your kid, and then you bring more, and then they're going to get exposed, and then these people will get exposed, and now you have the network effect that we think the space is needing.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Now it makes totally sense. Also, I'm organizing events in the metaverse at this moment with marketers, with people, you know, that you really only know. Sometimes you meet them in the physical world, but often I first meet them in the metaverse and then in the physical world. But you can imagine transactions being done in the metaverse where, you know, the physical world and then the virtual come together. Yeah. What is your vision on that? And how do you see Rider in that convergence?
I think you can. This is a really good saying that I've learned, that you can easily predict the future when you look at the present, right? So if you look at the present, kids these days, they're into Roblox. So it suggests, okay, you can actually see why big companies are actually heavily investing on metaverse. Because once this kid grew up, their purchasing power relies mostly on digital asset. But the question that we have now is, what's the in-between? And the in-between is my generation and the generation in between the younger people. Like, we call them the millennials.
Yeah.
So the millennials like the hybrid, right? So they want real life interaction, but they also understand the importance of metaverse. So that's what Rider comes in. So it's the combination of your cold and hot wallet. So it's in the middle. So, and that's where Rider exists, right? So if you're not really full on metaverse and you like the combination of hybrid, then Rider is for you.
Right. Another thing, you know, it's almost in every podcast episode I talk about that. That's about how you, as your business, as a marketer, mm-hmm. connect with your audience. Community is a big word mm-hmm. in the Web3 space. Is it about build a community, Louis? Is it about mm-hmm. something else? How are you engaging with your audience?
Yeah, no, I agree. So that was my entire career at Stacks, right? So before I was the growth lead, I was the community partner. So I did a lot of support, just talking to people and trying to promote the mission of the protocol. I mean, it was the main reason why I joined Stacks, right? So I wanted to be a community member because I believe in the mission that they were preaching, right? I believe in the narrative. So it's the same thing in Web3. By the end of the day, the vision for Web3 is you can actually exit and enter any protocol, projects, or organization instantly, right? So that's what Web2 didn't have, because Web2 is all about platform locked in. So in Web3, the more stronger that you build the community, the better, because then that means that's the main reason that's where they're staying. It's a buzzword, definitely. Mm-hmm. But do you have certain strategies? I think now we're getting more and more better in terms of how do we actually measure success for community. Because right. That's one of the things that are missing, metrics. Like, how do you define the metric of success for community? Because it's such a big word.
Yeah. What would you say if they ask you if there was one indicator to measure success for a community? Or does it depend on the stage that you're in? Or what would mm-hmm. you answer to that?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I think that's one thing that we've struggled in the past, especially if you're in the protocol layer. So imagine, okay, you have Solana, you have Ethereum, you have Bitcoin, you have Stacks. Okay, let's throw in Cosmos, Near, and other uprising L1. The question is, what's the measure of success for mm-hmm. community in terms of this protocol, right? Is it vanity metrics? Do they count the number of Discord members, or do they count the number of applications built in? Or by the end of the day, do they count the token price and the market cap, because it all falls down there? That's, I think, it's $1 million question in the space. And now we're seeing more sophisticated people actually building much more better funnels, better metrics. But it's hard, because there's no one single bullet that I think encapsulate the metric of success for each, right? Because if you're building a DeFi protocol, that means your measure of success for community is different for like an infrastructure layer like Ethereum, right? Because Ethereum by the day, I think, okay, it's debatable, but I think their measure of success for community is the number of applications built on Ethereum. Mm-hmm. The same with other L1s. The more application quality, okay, let's put quality in front of it. The more quality applications built on top of a protocol, the more successful they are. But for us, if you boil down Rider at its core, it's an e-commerce hardware company. And now our metric of success will always be sales, CRO. So our community efforts should be a mechanism towards reaching that measure of success.
Right. Yeah, those indicators are all linked, of course. You don't do directly sales. That's, of course, what's, you know, at the end, pays the bills and what you're working for doing sales. But you don't get sales right away. So there are a lot of indicators that are earlier in the customer journey. But that's also with other, you know, Web2 company or Web3 companies, the basics of marketing. I think the foundations will still be there of measuring. But yeah, I agree with you. It's subjective. It depends on also on the quality of the metrics that you have. Nobody, you know, cares about vanity metrics because some people do. But if you look at the end, it's sales that you want, of course. Also, you know, Web3, it's a space. So many things are new. There is so much things that are evolving. Yeah. What are trends that you are seeing? What is a future for Web3, I would say, in the next months or in the next year that you are most excited about? And yeah, and how do you see these new trends in Web3 impacting marketing? That's also something I would like to ask.
Yeah, so last year, I think, was a lot of NFT craze, right? So it was like everybody was like doing, you see also big brands trying to do brand activation around it. But if you're going to look at it, some of them didn't really execute well. Should I name names? I think Puma did great. The Puma activation was pretty stellar because they know how they did it from the ground up, right? So they tried to collaborate with certain collections that are already well known, like Cool Cuts, Gutter Cats, you know, before they released their NFT collection, maybe like 6 months after. So they know how to activate the community, but there's just some brands that in it for just the recognition. They jump in, they don't really understand it, and they do flop. But what I'm most excited about is more on the end user application layer. Because if you're going to look at a lot of things in the space, especially the movement, a lot of efforts are being put in on account abstraction, right? How do we simplify complex things so that your average Joe and Jenny could get it? That's what more I'm excited about. You see it now. A lot of wallets are evolving in a way that they're trying to reduce the friction. Because if you do a normal wallet now, it takes 10 steps to create a wallet, send a transaction, deposit Bitcoin. It's a lot. 10 steps is a lot. If you look at Facebook, Google, you even have sign in with Google, one click. And that's frictionless. I think builders in the space now are realizing, they're like, yeah, we have really to focus on the core problems, which is usability. Because right now they, like what I said in the beginning, we get distracted by shiny things. And Web3 in general is very shiny, especially the core proposition. And everybody shoots straight at the core proposition, which is decentralization, self-sovereignty. And when you shoot right to the proposition, it's very hard, right? So you build things and you don't really get, do users really want it? Why are we building, for example, a lot of, it's so fun. I'm going to give an example. Okay, DeFi, let's go in DeFi, right? DeFi, they build a lot of filters. They're going to build, oh, let's build in another swap feature and maybe use a bridge and then wrap these tokens. I'm like, guys, okay, where is the user? Where is the liquidity, right? I think in order to get that liquidity, in order to get those users that can actually trade these financial derivatives, you go back to the main problem, which is user onboarding. And that's what we're realizing now. And I'm happy for it. If you look at the new EIP proposal from Ethereum, they're also focusing on it. And yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting probably 3 years. Took quite a lot of time, but we're getting there.
Yeah, I think that's a hopeful message. I think we are getting there. There is a lot of lot of things are happening. I think the friction, yeah, we should get rid of the friction, but that's always when you have new technologies that you have, you know, that period that, and also people, you know, Web3, they like new technologies. They like all that, but you need to look, of course, at the user. And where we will see more and more big brands entering the space, I think it will go faster. So, Louis, time goes fast. You have, I think, lots of interesting stories to tell. And also, you're working on an amazing product. So if people are listening to the show and they want to connect with you or learn more about what you're doing, where should I send them?
Of course, if you want to learn more about Rider, you can just simply type on your browser rider.id. And yeah, sign up for the waitlist because we're going to launch our pre-sale soon. And so you can grab one. We have an early bird discount, so watch out for that.
Okay, amazing. Yeah, the episode will drop rather quickly in a few days after the recording. So I think people can still be on time, I guess. Are you also active on social media, Louis, like on Twitter or on LinkedIn? And can people find you there?
Yeah. I'm very active on Twitter. I'm a total degen. I tweet about the market. I tweet about the latest things in Web3, crypto, and all this kind of... I love memes as well. So my handle is Louis Ivan BP if you want to find me on Twitter as well.
Great. Every time we do a podcast episode, Louis, there are show notes, there is a blog article. All of the links mentioned in the episode will be there. So if you're not listening to the episode, just go find the show notes. It was so great to have you, Louis. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for hosting, Yuri. Appreciate it. It was a fun conversation.
Thank you all also for listening to the show. Thank you for spending time with us. Again, this was an episode in the series with the Sky Club. Other guests from the Sky Club will be on the show, I would say, in the coming weeks, months. If you like this episode and you think, wow, this is really useful for people around me, other marketers, other entrepreneurs in Web3 or not yet in Web3, be sure to share this episode with them. If you're not yet following the show, please hit the subscribe button. And of course, I would like to see you back for the next podcast episode. Take care. Bye. Web3 can take your biz to new heights. And you're ready to harness its power? But feeling lost and overwhelmed? Therefore, join my W3X Web3 Mastermind. Send me a personal message for more info. You can find me everywhere on social media. There's only one person with my name, Yuri Bilast. Talk soon.